Hi everyone, this is Lonnie Miller. You've joined our show Beyond My Day Job, where we essentially dig into what I would call high-effort hobbies. And I interview and bring to you some fun stories with people within my network who are able to elaborate on the things that keep them excited, motivated, outside of work. And that's what I want you to get out of this as you take a look at your own lives. What is it that gets you going, and how can you maybe learn from some of the fun experiences that I'll bring to you on this podcast? So let me share a couple things with you. Something that ties us to our segment that we'll hear today. Growing up, I was the guy that was essentially known as having all the soundtracks from movies. And I have to tell you that even most recently, I acquired the CD from The Greatest Showman with Hugh Jackman and cast. Powerful, real high energy, loved the show, loved the music in it. And I've always thought about movies and music, and then I go back to in 1981, there was a movie titled Thief with James Caan. Musically driving that entire movie was a group called Tangerine Dream Machine. I loved the sound of Tangerine Dream Machine. You can look them up on YouTube. Prolific library of music. Synthesizer, a little bit of Eurotech, but not in a trashy, not in a nightclub sense, but in a very powerful, pulsating, and they tied their music into a lot of other movies that they've been featured on. But I mean, you know, let's go back to the point. I had CDs that had jingles from different TV shows, right? So things from 1960s Dragnet to the 80s Charlie's Angels themes music on a CD. Lost in Space from when I was a young kid was on the CD. I had the soundtrack from Out of Africa, the soundtrack from Breakfast Club and the Lost Boys later in the mid-80s and that. So, you know, I bring that up because special music outside of just the normal run-of-the-mill music that you and I might hear, when I identify with other action and activities, it's just a little more special to me. But here's the deal. Fundamentally, I've always been a consumer of music, never a creator. Now, I'm doing a hideous job right now of teaching myself, playing the guitar, but there's a goal. I want to create something, maybe, you know, contribute to something later on. Right now, it's killing my family's ears. But I've always been a consumer, never a creator. And today, I'm so excited for all of you. You're going to get to hear from a very special friend of mine by the name of Paula Skier. And she's going to bring you into her world of playing within a wind symphony. Beautiful music that Paula helps create from her talents. And again, this is a beautiful example of going above and beyond your day job to do something that you love and are talented at. So with that in mind, let's get into it. Paula Skier.
Hi, Lonnie.
Hi there. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks Great. For joining me tonight on our podcast, Beyond My Day Job. And aptly titled with you as our guest tonight, The Symphony. We're going to get to talk about a passion of yours that I'm excited to explore a little bit with you. So,
well, thank you. I'm excited to be here.
It's Oscar night, so I don't know. I'm just sitting around in my pajamas, so nothing special in the Miller household.
I'm wearing a ball gown.
I expect selfies afterward, please. Oh, dear. All right. Well, let's get into it. I really want to see where this part of your non-work life keeps you hopping and excited. So why don't you tell us a little bit about who you play for and how you got into the symphony and just a little bit of kind of lead us up to the point that got you even interested in that. Some of your, you know, some, I assume, some musical background or interests. So take it from there.
Sure. So I actually studied music in my undergraduate college career. I went to Syracuse University and I majored in music industry. So my dream was to get into the music business.
What part of the music business?
Well, my dream was to be an A&R guy/gal. meaning the artist and repertoire group. They're the ones that pair the artists with the material that they record in most cases when they're not writing their own material. It didn't exactly come to fruition. It came a little bit close. I did some internships, and I did get a job working for Warner Brothers Records when I graduated from college. I ended up doing international public relations, which was kind of fun, and I got to meet a lot of famous people and basically bring coffee to a lot of famous people.
Like who loved your coffee?
Let's see, Chrissy Hine in The
Oh
Pretenders,
yeah.
George Benson, just to name a couple that come to
Yeah.
mind.
All right.
I did my internship at Island Records. I didn't get to meet any of the artists, but I got to go to see some U2 concerts and Robert Palmer. I got a lot of free albums. That was the biggest perk in that unpaid internship.
Yes. You should be so
But
fortunate.
yeah, so it was a lot of fun, but it was impossible to actually earn a living, is what I found, unfortunately, because so many people want to get into that business that it's essentially slave labor. So I was living at home, commuting into New York, and I just was in a non-sustainable position. So I ended up pivoting into a completely unrelated career, but I always kept up my love for music, and I've been playing. I started on the piano when I was about 5, and then I picked up the flute when I was about 10, and then in high school I picked up the saxophone, and I've continued to love playing music.
So
And I've, you know,
hold on on the flute.
sure.
What's the term they give to someone who plays a flute? Like, it's not a flutist. It's a slightly different. Is it? It's a,
Well, it is
what's
actually
the
the
phrase?
American is a flutist. I think in Europe or in England, perhaps, they call it a flautist.
That's what I've heard. I didn't know if that was a regional or is there a nuanced meaning between the two terms?
I think they're probably interchangeable, but I say flutist.
Got it. We love to Americanize our pronunciation of
Yes,
things.
it doesn't quite sound quite as fancy, but you know, it is what it is.
So piano, flute, and saxophone. How did you were you excited when Bill Clinton was playing the sax during his campaign?
I don't think that was really no, I don't think that was really
Was
my cup of tea. No, I go for more of
a
the, you know, the real musicians where that's their number one thing.
Not playing Fleetwood Mac,
Right.
riffs with the sax.
Although it was kind of cool, you know, that is kind of cool. So yeah, gotta respect anyone that loves music.
I believe you there. Yes. Ha, all right.
Yeah, so I kept up my playing. So music, flute is really my primary instrument, but it's a kind of instrument that, you know, playing alone is really not so great. You need an ensemble to play. And so, you know, over the years, I stopped playing, and it just kind of went by the wayside. And then about 10 or 12 years ago, I got invited to a reunion concert from my high school, where all of the band alumni from over the years were invited back, including the band director of the time. It was called kind of like a Mr. Holland's Opus moment. And so I took part in that, and it made me remember how much I loved playing and how much I missed it.
That's great.
And I was talking to a good friend of mine who I know is a friend of yours, Mr. Jeff Martini, about it. And he said, you really should find a local band and start playing again because you love it so much. And I said, you're right. And he kept on badgering me until I finally did something about it.
That sounds
And
like Jeff. He's
yep,
the
he kept saying, did
big
you look into
picture
it? Did you
pusher.
look into it? And so finally I went online, and I live in Bergen County, New Jersey, which is northern New Jersey. And I found a local community band called the Ramsey Wind Symphony. And there was a contact email, and I sent in an email, and the band director at the time, Charles Yaski, he responded and he said, I'm sorry, we're full. We don't have any room. We don't need any flute players right now, but we'll put you on the waiting list.
We're all full of
All full
flutists.
flutists, right? I should have played the bassoon or something. That's a little harder to find. So eventually, about I think maybe a year later, he did in fact email me and he said, we have some openings. Why don't you come in? And that was about 8 or 9 years ago.
So
And yeah.
between when he first said, "Hey, we're not now," and when he got back with you about a year later, had you still been thinking about it, or you just kind of given up and said, "Well, whatever," or where was your head in terms of, that waiting period, if you will?
I thought about it, but it wasn't something where I felt like, oh my God, I have to do this. If he doesn't call, I'm going to be so upset, that type of thing. It was more like, well, I put the good word in, I did my part, and hopefully something will come of it, and planted the seed. And so then, about a year later, they called me in, and I was able to come and start playing with them. They rehearsed on Wednesdays.
Was there an audition for you personally?
I wasn't sure when I went in exactly what the process was because it was a little unclear. So I actually prepared, as a music major, I was used to preparing a piece for an audition. So
Wow.
I actually did prepare a piece
Okay.
and I was nervous. I went in and I thought that I was going to have to play. Yeah, I don't know if I had was going to have to play in front of just the conductor or in front of the whole band, but they never actually auditioned me. He just said, "You can sit over there." And they stuck me in the end of the flute section. And I took my seat and that was that. And then over the years, they moved me up and they moved me up and they moved me up until, that, I don't know, a few years later, they put me into the first flute section.
Right.
And then I, moved up and moved up. And 3 years ago now, I guess it was, I've officially become the principal flute player. And so I lead the
Principal
section.
flute player. Oh, that's awesome. That's good. So is that, I know in high school, when you mentioned your reunion, a lot of my friends are in the band, and but we fondly called them Bansies. And so the jocks, it was a derogatory term, but for the friends of the people in band, it was a term of endearment. But just kind of made me think about some of them would say, "Oh, I got first chair," or "I'm second chair," or whatever. Do they use that language with the symphony that you're in? Do they say what chair you're in, or any politics, or any jostling to try to get that, from a competitive standpoint?
Right. Well, the Ramsey Wind Symphony is not really that competitive. There are other local ensembles that are much more political and competitive. We'll pretty much take anyone who can play at a decent level. But we will try to just place people into the appropriate section. But we don't necessarily do first chair, second chair, third chair. We have a principal of each section. And then we have, if it's clarinets, there's first, second, and thirds. If there's flutes, there's just first and seconds. But we'll just try to place you somewhere where you're comfortable.
Got it.
So it's not that political, and which is I like about it because I work full time. I have enough office politics and co competition in my day job. I don't need that in my hobby.
Right. Great philosophy. Yeah, good attitude about that. So if you're currently the principal flutist for, or principal, say it again, tell me your
You
title,
can
so
just
to
say
speak.
principal flute.
Principal flute. Got it.
Yes.
Got it. All right. Okay. So from the Ramsey Wind Symphony, what's their goal? Like, when do they play? What are they about, really, as an organization? What's their purpose with the community?
Sure. So it's a community concert band. We are sponsored by the town of Ramsey, New Jersey, which is adjacent to where I live. So we're very fortunate because many community bands don't have any type of sponsorship whatsoever. And so we do have a small endowment, which allows us to pay for a band director and music and, some expenses. And we have to pay in many cases for venues where we play concerts. We do about 6 to 8 concerts a year in a variety of venues, everything from, for the town of Ramsey, who is our sponsor. We play their annual fireworks every year. We have a holiday concert every year. We do the Christmas parade with Santa. We have a brass ensemble that plays in that and the 9/11 memorial, things like that. We also do things like playing at nursing homes, and we play an annual Veterans Day concert for people in the community, which is, great and very rewarding. And then we do some concerts for ourselves at a variety of venues, and some are pretty interesting. I mean, some are just in churches or concert halls. We play every year at the Rockland Boulders now, which is a minor league baseball team. We play their July 4th game,
So you're
followed by the
outdoors.
fireworks every year, which is really fun.
Where do you play in regard to the ball field?
They play at a small stadium in Pomona, New York.
And do they
So
bring you into a seating area, or are you actually brought out onto the turf or the green where the ball players, where the game's taking place
We're not
at.
on the turf. We're in a little section by where some of the kitchens and the catering are. It's right off of the field. It's
Yes.
off right off of right field.
Okay.
And the stands go all around the opposite side. So we're kind of opposite the Jumbotron.
Oh,
So it's
okay.
kind of fun because they broadcast us up on the big screen
So you
under the
see
big lights.
yourself. If you look up from your music, you can see yourself up on the
Yes. So
Jumbotron.
it's a thrill.
Yeah.
And it's so yeah, they bring out, at the end of the game we play, and they bring everybody out onto the field with the kids and the families, and they come right
Wow.
up and we play a concert. And as soon as we finish with the traditionally the Stars and Stripes Forever, the fireworks go off.
Got it. Got
So
it.
it's very, very choreographed, and
Yeah.
we've been doing that for a few years, so that's a lot of fun.
What's your most memorable venue that you've played?
Well, the Boulders is great because, the Jumbotron, that's a biggie. We also got a few opportunities to play at MetLife Stadium for the Bergen Community College commencement ceremony.
Okay.
So that's a great venue. We're out, they basically cut the football field in half, but we're out on the field. And it's not the most exciting concert. We're mostly playing Pomp and Circumstance for about 20 minutes, but it is a cool venue.
Okay. Anything in they were bringing you into the city to join up with other symphonies or orchestras or anything like that? Field trip, so to speak, for the Ramsey Wind Symphony?
We haven't. We had an opportunity once when I first started to potentially play Carnegie Hall,
Oh, wow.
which would have been amazing. But
Absolutely.
we would have had to actually fundraise quite a bit because we would have to pay quite a bit of money to actually be able to play in that venue.
Why?
And
I'm just curious. I'm just kind of ignorant to that process or
they
the
weren't going to
expert.
sell tickets to see the Ramsey Wind Symphony that was enough to pay for
I
opening
see.
Carnegie Hall.
Okay. All
So I think they
right.
have certain commute nights where they invite, non-professional groups to come in, but it's
Right.
basically self-funded.
Got it. So you okay, that makes sense.
So, we voted on it as a group, and I think, it would have cost us several hundred dollars per band member. And
Okay.
I said yes, but it got voted down, unfortunately. But I think it would have been worth it just to have as a life experience to play Carnegie
Absolutely.
Hall.
Oh, wow.
But we have had a lot of interesting soloists that come out and play with us.
Okay.
So we've had a soloist from the New York Philharmonic. We've had soloists from the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra, to name a couple.
Okay.
So that's been a thrill, and
Yeah.
a little bit of New York coming out to New Jersey to join
Right,
us.
right. I like that. Yeah, plus you get the benefit of just then kind of interacting and meeting someone else that's got other, and these folks are probably individuals that have traveled the world, or played with other large, orchestras and such too.
Yeah, so it's really, and they've been all the soloists that we've worked with have been incredibly down to earth,
Okay.
very nice, giving, mentoring, they give advice.
Right.
I mean, just very approachable. So it's been a great experience.
No divas or prima donnas, et cetera.
No, not in my experience. I think if they were divas and prima donnas, they wouldn't have chosen to come and play with us.
It's kind of funny, yeah. Kind of keep it back. It's a nice, professional, but it's community symphony, so from that side. What do you
Right.
have to wear? What's your attire typically?
Well, it depends. If it's a formal concert, then it's concert black. The gentlemen are in tux and the women
Okay.
are in long black dresses or
Okay.
skirts. If it's something like a July 4th, then we're typically in black and white, black bottoms, white tops, more
Okay.
casual. If it's a summer outdoor event, that type of thing.
Got it. Got it. Are you playing mostly indoors, would you say, in terms of the mix of concerts that you play
Well,
versus outdoor?
most of the year in New Jersey is not outdoor playing weather.
Got it.
So
So it's year
probably
round
mostly
for you.
indoor, but
Okay.
starting in the spring, we always have a couple of July concerts that are outdoors, and then we
Yeah.
have a September regular gig also that's Ramsey Day. It's a community day that's always outdoors, and the 9/11 memorial is always outdoors. So I would
Okay,
say
yep.
three or four and the baseball, so maybe five outdoor. So yeah, it's about half and half, I guess.
I'm curious, what anyone, after the concert or people maybe that have followed you or seen you guys play multiple times, have you had any residents or any individuals come up to you and talk that any just kind of real meaningful or memorable comments or feedback that you've gotten from people that have watched your concert?
Yeah, a few times actually. I think some of the most meaningful to me have been when we've played the Veterans Day concert, and we played in Rockland County, New York, one year at a high school, and they bust in war veterans from several nursing homes in the area and from the VA home. And they all were wearing their hats with their pins and from their service units. And, most of them are, of course, elderly, and some were in wheelchairs. And then after the concert, so many of them came up to us and, just said how important it was and how honored they were that we played the Veterans Day, and we did a, military marches and patriotic music, and it was incredibly touching. And also when we play at nursing homes, Christmas concerts and things like that, and there's this one nursing home that we play almost every year, and they bring us cookies and juice, and they just love us, and we come in and they're sitting there an hour before the performance, like in the front row, ready to go.
Here we go. Can't wait.
It's just nice to bring joy to people that, don't get that much opportunity to be exposed to live music.
And from where your chair is, you are relatively closer to the audience, given your playing position. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm right
Typically.
in the front row of the band on the end, right next to the audience.
All right. Oh, how nice. That's really cool. Yeah, I'm always curious when people, I mean, because you're practicing and you put a lot of sweat equity into this. So just curious what kind of community feedback that you get. So it's good. It's nice when it's appreciated from that side. And it's like wife and I went to a funeral a couple months ago with some friends that we've known for years, and her husband was a Vietnam vet, and the local army brigade and all of the vets, they were at the funeral, and I don't even know if all of them knew him, but they were all out of respect. So they came in and went up to the casket. It's just really touching when you bring in that the veteran aspect of life, and you see the level of reverence that they give to people, as well as being recognized themselves. So it's just always kind of touching whenever I see that in action. So it's good that the vets that you guys see on Veterans Day, they're recognizing that too.
Yeah, it is. It's a good feeling.
How does your family interact with this, with your concerts? Are they there with you each time? And because you've got a couple of children and your husband, so what's their involvement or monitoring or participation with you?
Right. Well, they come when they can, but given schedules being what they are these days, that's not necessarily to every concert. I've got a couple of high school kids, so they've got a busy sports schedule, and sometimes they're not able to make it, but I do have a concert coming up in a couple of weeks, and I think for once on a Sunday, and I think everybody can make it this time, so that'll be nice for me to see them in the audience. But I have a couple of friends locally, one of them being our mutual friend Jeff, who is a trooper and is almost always in audience for our shows. So usually I have at least one or two people that I know in the audience, even if my family's not able to be there.
And sometimes they record your concerts, or what's the media distribution to your awareness of some of your performances?
Yeah, well, we used to record professionally each concert and then release a CD. And we would sell them at the concerts and then we would just buy them ourselves. And it was, not quite self-funding. We have a new music director over the last couple of years and some new board members. And the decision was made to repurpose that budget for other things. So in the last couple of years, we haven't done the professional recordings. I would love to see them brought back, maybe not for every concert, but it is nice to have the memory of the recording. So I wish we would do that again, or maybe even do a video for YouTube or something, which we haven't really done.
All right. Yeah, well, hopefully other people keep it, it's been memorable for them, just as, they were there live. So from that side,
Yeah.
have you thought about how long you'll do this, or any term limits per se, or anything like that that applies to being part of the community symphony?
No, there's no term limits, and I think I'll do it as long as I continue to enjoy it. I don't
Okay.
see any end. I, you know, it's really the one thing that I have kept up for myself, despite all the pressures of a full-time job and a family
Sure.
and everything
Yeah.
else. I've always carved out the time for my rehearsals and my concerts, and I really look forward to Wednesday nights when we rehearse because I know that it's guilt-free night, mom's night off. And
Right.
I get to go to rehearsal, and I don't have to feel bad about missing out on carpooling and driving the kids or
Right.
anything else, and
Oh,
or for leaving work on time that day.
it's is it
And
weekly? It's practice every Saturday?
we practice every Wednesday
Everyone, sorry,
for
not
most of the
Wednesday.
year, except for over
Yeah.
the summer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, unless I'm on a business trip or there's some other exception,
Right. Okay. You're there.
I'm usually there. Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. That is great. Yeah, that's just it's kind of nice. When I used to teach adjunct at University of Michigan Flint, it was the highlight of my week, and I had a horrible commute to get up from where I was working, and but I couldn't wait. It was like my Wednesday night, and it was an evening class with a 400 level undergraduate audience, but it was just a thrill. I loved it. So I still do some teaching at church right now, and it's a blast. So it's nice when you find something. It's like, yeah, I want to keep doing this.
Yeah, and when you're there, you have no choice but to focus on what you're doing. So you really
Absolutely.
can't think about your to-do list or your issues at work or whatever it might be, because I do tend to obsess on those things. So it's nice to be forced to put those all to the side, and it helps keep me sane for sure.
Okay. All right. Well, I know we talked a little bit about just some of the when they used to record your concerts, and I kind of want to have you help wind us down tonight. You had shared a piece with me, and I want to be able to have our listeners listen to it after we're done talking, and wondered if you could help introduce and give us a little background on the song that everyone will hear in a few moments.
Sure. So this is a piece called Everything is Beautiful, and it's written by Samuel Hazo. He's an American, a modern American composer. He was
Okay.
born in 1966. He still lives in Pittsburgh. This particular piece was commissioned in memory of Charles Campbell, who was a renowned music educator and conductor and mentor to many young music students. And
Okay.
he was posthumously inducted into the Bands Hall of America Hall of Fame. So the piece again is called Everything is Beautiful, and the specific piece is the second movement, which is called Irish Tune, and it
Okay.
opens with a lovely flute solo.
By yours truly, yes.
Yes, that's right.
Awesome. So, for those of you staying with us, which I know you are, as this interview ends, listen to the song following this, and at the very beginning, you will hear Paula start that section with the Irish. What was it? Irish.
Irish tune.
Irish tune. Awesome. Got it, Paula. I can't thank you enough for doing this and sharing some of your fun love hobbyists, outside of your day job. So I just really, it's nice hearing someone energized and excited about something outside of the normal day-to-day grind that, so many of us put up with. So, thank you for doing this.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. And for those of you, keep tuned. We're not done yet, and you'll be blessed audibly by Paula and the Ramsey Wind Symphony here in a moment. And you've been with us on Beyond My Day Job with our special guest, Paula Skeer. Paula, thanks again.
Thank you. Good night.
Night.
Thank you.
Thank you.